Welcome everyone to Freedom Law School's weekly conference call on this Thursday, January 26, 2017. This is Peyman Motahede, the founder and president of Freedom Law School. By the way, we just celebrated our 21st year of founding of Freedom Law School. That's right, folks. For 21 years, Freedom Law School has been educating and empowering freedom lovers and freedom seekers to understand the law, the U.S. Constitution, and your rights, and how by asserting your rights with the proper legal procedures, how to live free of oppressive taxation and control. If you have not been to our website at livefreenow.org, this would be a great time for you to do so. Be sure to get on our email list. You're going to get a 1 year of free education, folks, free freedom education that you will not find anyplace else on the internet. Get that, folks. We'll send out some of it to you by mail, U.S. mail, in your doorsteps. And then some will be, the rest will be emailed to you. And these weekly conference calls of Freedom Law School are a way to reach out and educate you, as well as answer your questions about your particular situations with the IRS, with the state income tax agencies, police, or any kind of a government bureaucratic abuse of power. So you can live free like you are meant to be. You have a right to live free. You are born free. So we're here to help you. And Freedom Law School courses, folks, are absolutely unique. You will not find anywhere courses that are as useful and easy to understand and implement and use like Freedom Law School courses. Very easy to understand and use. And they will work for you so much that I have a generous 90-day, 100% unconditional money-back guarantee for all of our freedom courses, as long as you have the level one course, the first one first, and then everything. And on top of that, folks, I will extend that money-back guarantee time frame to a year if you needed to make sure you have the time to use it and it works for you. The freedom packages of Freedom Law School, folks, are unique, one of a kind. Freedom Law School is a very unique and successful track record of beating the IRS. I have personally beaten the IRS. Our students have beaten the IRS so many times. You know, I've been just too busy putting more victories on our website, because when you got so many of them, what's the few more? You know, it just gets lost in the crowd of victories we had over the IRS. You can win, folks. I'm happy to help you. So you may want to look into our freedom packages, like the Simple Freedom Package and Royal Freedom Package. That includes a lot, assistant consultation, getting the paperwork done for you. Any kind of a situation you have, whether you file a 1040 income tax confession form or don't file an income tax confession form, we can help you no matter what. Although, I do believe, and I assert, that there is no law requiring the average American like you and me to file and pay the federal income tax. It's an absolute fraud. We have a rigged system. I'm going to cover that tonight. We emailed everybody, put it on our Facebook page, that before filing that 1040 income tax confession form, show Freedom Law School the law that requires the filing of that 1040 form, and you can collect $100,000 of cool cash from Freedom Law School. I'll be talking about that subject tonight, and if we have time, I'll answer some of your questions at the end. That's going to be the topic of the call tonight. Is there a law that requires you to file and pay income tax? And if there is, folks, please, please show it to me. Please educate me. Please enlighten me. I want to learn. I want to be educated. That's what led me, folks, to the conclusion that there's no law requiring Americans to file income tax because, you know, the government has never, ever come forward and show me the law. They have over 8,000 pages, I know, over 10,000 by now. You know, they have, I mean, they had a bunch of their agents and employees and lawyers and managers get together to spy on me and conspire against me, yet they never come. Show me the law that requires the filing and paying of the income tax. So if you're thinking about filing and paying income tax, folks, that's okay. I understand that. A lot of people do that out of fear, out of habit. You know, they all tell you the CPAs, the certified public accountants, bookkeepers, accountants, tax preparers, lawyers, the media tells you, newspaper, television, you know, you've got to file that 1040 form. Do it. No matter what, do it. You're going to get in trouble if you don't file. They tell you file and pay. But even if you cannot pay all of it, file anyway, pay later. But make sure you file that 1040 income tax form, they tell you. Well, we're going to look into that subject. Is there a law that requires you to file income tax? Well, folks, you know, I'd like to start with give you an example of what's going on in America because that relates to you. That will relate to you and your situation and your question about income tax. Oh, by the way, if you can get a CPA, your CPA, certified public accountant, bookkeeper, accountant, lawyer, or a judge, or IRS employee to come and make the, you know, reward claim for $100,000, I will double that reward because I don't want you to have to share your $100,000 with them because they showed you the law. Yeah, you don't have to share it. They're going to get their own $100,000 and you're going to get your $100,000. Yes. Isn't that fair? You don't have to split it to $50,000 each. You can keep the whole $100,000. But the situation we have, folks, it's become very clear over the last year and a half, how the economic, political system of America and legal system is rigged. We saw how the Republicans, American people as Republicans, rejected 15 of these establishment politicians, governors and senators, even Senator Rand Paul, Congressman Ron Paul's son, libertarian guy I support, they even rejected him and went for a maverick, self-made billionaire, Donald Trump, as a nominee of the party, Republican Party. And then at the general election, he won. He is now the U.S. president, even though he was going against the not just a Democratic Party, not against Hillary Rodham Clinton, okay, that wench that lost, but also against the entire establishment, the Wall Street, the big corporations, the banks, the entire political system, the big oil companies, the big pharmaceutical companies, they're all against Donald Trump. And the media just blasted Donald Trump from the get-go. And Donald Trump came across a rigged system at every step of the way, attacking him, trying to keep a self-made man who really, after making billions now, he wants to make his mark on history by making America great again. That would be a bigger achievement than all of his billions he's made. As a 70-year-old man, folks, what else would you got left to do, right? That's going to be your legacy. Yet we have a crooked, lying, murderous woman, Hillary Clinton, who clearly violated many, many laws. I mean, you know, had our national security at risk by having top secret and secret documents by emails come to her home servers and use 13 different devices, iPads and iPhones, all that, to use to email about these top secret material. There's clear laws that say there's no intent required for her to be in jail for doing all this? Well, intent was very clear. I mean, she put it in her basement, deliberately have all emails go to the house. One more intent than that do you need? Oh, I didn't know. Sir, I put a server in my house. That was an accident? Seriously? No intent was required. Just doing it is a crime. Multiple of these she violated. Yet the corrupt political U.S. Department of Injustice and the FBI, they don't want to prosecute her for breaking dozens of well-known laws because she's a powerful political person. That's how rigged of a system we got, folks. It's been going on for a lot longer. The insiders, the politicians, the big banks, corporations, Walmart, I mean, Wall Street, these guys that pay, you know, to get the politicians elected and own the media. They own New York Times, LA Times, Washington Post, CBS, NBC, right? And CNN, Clinton News Network. You know, these guys, they get to get away with things. They get to break laws that exist. Yet, at the same time, they impose a law on you that does not exist in the first place. Again, I repeat, there is no law that requires the average ordinary American to file and pay the federal income tax. None. Let me remind you, folks, I've been saying this for over 20 years. IRS well knows it. They listen to my commerce call. They record it for them. Yet the IRS has never attempted to take me to court in a criminal case. Never. Because they know what I'm doing is exposing their scam, their fraud. Guaranteed to be able to do this by the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution. And folks, their gig is up because more people like you are waking up. So first come to that understanding that we have a corrupt system we got to change. And with Donald Trump, with President Donald Trump, we have a unique chance in history to truly get our country back. He said he's going to have a country where for the silent majority, the powerless majority that doesn't have money to buy our politicians, that's us. Did you have money to pay a politician? You know, big campaign contribution? Or give money to his political campaign action committee or super PAC that supports him? Of course not. Most Americans don't. So you are the one Donald Trump is working for, and he's going to working with us, what we hope, to really return freedom and the Constitution and prosperity to your life and the life of all Americans. But it starts with education, knowing what's going on and what's the proper solution. So, follow me along, folks, on your personal computer, laptop, iPhone, you know, a smartphone, whatever you got. We're going to go on internet, folks, because I like to back everything up, folks, with the law. The law that you can verify, the law you can see. We're not going to do what the crooked judges do in the court of law. In the courts of law, the crooked judges in tax cases, they'll tell the jury, I'll tell you there's a law requiring people to file and pay income tax. Sections 1, 61, 63, 60, 11, 60, 12, in combination, some of these code sections require this defendant to file and pay income tax. And don't you look beyond that. You just have to take my word. I'm the judge. Practically in this courtroom, I'm God. You'll take God's word, and you will not go beyond God, judge's word, and look and investigate to see a law for yourself. You have to take it from me. No, folks, I will not put you through that torture and disrespect. I believe in giving you the opportunity to look up and read the law for yourself, and you decide whether Freedom Law School is right or the politicians and bureaucrats in the government, if they're right, if there is or not a law requiring you to file income tax. So we're going to go on internet, get your computer opened up, chart ready to go, whatever you use, and let's go to Freedom Law School's website. I'm going to start from there. Go to livefreenow.org, livefreenow.org. When you go there, you'll see on top of the page, on the drop-down menu of educational materials. Put your mouse on the educational materials that you see on top center of the page and go down to the income tax reward. And click on the income tax reward. And that will take you to Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward. Okay. And I'm going to read some of it with you right now. Freedom Law School is offering $100,000 to the first person who can demonstrate any of the three propositions listed below. The winner can collect up to $300,000 if he or she can prove all of the propositions below. And we're going to be talking tonight about the very first $100,000 offer. One, show what statute written by the Congress of the United States that requiring Americans to file an income tax confession or return and pay income taxes. Just show the law. That's it. Show the law. Should be easy to do, folks, if you ask me to show you a law that says that, for example, you're not supposed to murder. I can find a law to you very easily. If you ask me to show the law that the classified information, you're not supposed to take out government files like Hillary Clinton did, I can show it to you. It's there. They can, you know, show you how, you know, you're not supposed to, you know, dump nuclear waste anywhere in America without specific government permission and control. We can show you that. The laws are there, printed for everybody to see and read for themselves. So that should be easy to do. Remember, this reward is doubled if you get your bookkeeper, accountant, certified public accountant, CPA, or lawyer, or a judge, or IRS employee to come and help you collect this reward. Please share it with them. Tell them no skin off your back. They're going to get their $100,000 and you will get yours. Because you see, okay, now but let's go on and get to this thing. Now, what I'm going to do, folks, is go through this process with the help of a law professor, folks. That's right. We had a law professor that made a claim on this Freedom Law School offer. And I'm going to show you what this law professor tried to say. And you tell me if I was right in rejecting what this law professor says. Let's go to the top of Freedom Law School's webpage at livefreenow.org and click on our victories. When you click on our victories, then you go, you see three different kind of victories. Go to the one on the left of the page where it says FLS victories and click on that. Click on the FLS victories on the left side of the page. And when you go there, you see that Law Professor Siegel's claim of the $300,000 income tax reward of Freedom Law School. Okay. See, what I'm trying to do, folks, is I'm going to try to help you collect this money, you know. But you don't want to repeat what the law professor did, okay, because that's going to be a waste of time, you know, to, you know, do the same thing that that's already been, you know, been attempted by the law professor. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to see what the law professor did, because he couldn't collect the reward because he could not show me the law. Maybe you could do better, okay? Now, what I want you to do is under, you see, part one, okay? Law professor fails Freedom Law School's income tax reward, okay? Click on that. And there, you see, we're going to talk about this law professor and the claim that he made on this whole thing. First of all, let's read it. Because on April 28, 2016, it says, Jonathan Siegel, a law professor with George Washington University of Law, made a claim against Freedom Law School's $300,000 income tax reward that has been made public since 1999. Right? Long time, folks. I've had this reward. Now, if you click on Jonathan Siegel, there you can see, you know, it goes to who he is. Okay, he is a law professor with George Washington University of Law. You can click on that and see what George Washington University of Law is. It's an established one of the top 20 law schools in the country. Okay. So it continues. Below is a part one of the three-part documentation of how Professor Siegel and Paimon Motahede, president of Freedom Law School, Paimon, came into contact with each other, which led to the reward claimed by Professor Siegel and his denial by Freedom Law School. In part one, listed below, you will see the email exchange of Paimon and Siegel from oldest to newest, as well as the reward claim of Professor Siegel, as well as denial of the first $100,000 income tax reward claim, which is going to discuss tonight. That's a topic of tonight's conference call. All of the legal authorities mentioned by Paimon are hyperlinked to the actual court case, the IRS code, or direct source of law. This will allow you to read the actual law that Paimon refers to so that you can read the law and judge for yourself. If Professor Siegel or Freedom Law School are correct, you decide. Folks, I don't expect you to believe me at all. But I also invite you not to believe the government, the media, the tax professionals out there, or anybody else on the internet. Read the law for yourself. Now, here it is. You see on here that the email is on Wednesday, April 20th. I wrote an email to Professor Jonathan Siegel, which I write to him respectfully. I say to Professor Siegel, I know you must be a very busy professor of law at George Washington University Law School, and I do not wish to take too much of your time. Someone led me to your post at, that's his website, which had part of IRS Code Section 61 listed, which describes gross income, which left me perplexed. I found it odd that Section 61, that's 61 of the IRS Code, the tax law, specifically lists a few forms of income that very few Americans have and are usually in very small amounts, such as royalties and fringe benefits, but does not list the most common and largest forms of income that most Americans have, namely wages and salaries. Did I miss something here? How could congressmen and their teams of lawyers forget about wages and salaries, but remember to list royalties and fringe benefits? Thank you for taking your time to review and reply to my question. Okay. Now, let's see what the section 61 says. Okay, let's go back, folks. And let's go see Professor Siegel's website first. You see, there's a someone limit to your post at that long hyperlink. Let's put your mouse on there and right-click on that. Put the link in a new tab. Okay? And that page comes up. And this page is headline, Income Tax Myths. Quote, there is no law requiring you to pay federal income taxes, unquote. Right? So Professor Siegel starts on his webpage saying, the most basic myth of tax protesters is that there is simply no law mandating the payment of income taxes. By the way, they try to refer us as tax protesters. No, we're not protesting taxes. That's just a label they give to us. We are protesting the government breaking the law. The politicians, bureaucrats, the IRS, the U.S. Department of Injustice, deliberately knowing, breaking the law to enslave people because they want the money. To them, it's all about the money, 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 money. The politician bureaucrats, they just want money. More power, more money, more salaries for them, more bigger benefits and pensions and vacations. That's what they want. Right? So, Professor Siegel continues, tax protesters frequently say, if only someone would show me the law that says that I have to file income tax return and pay taxes, I'll be happy to do it. But guess what, folks? I'm one of those guys. Yes, yes. Now, if you click on the show me the law, what he has on there, click on the show me the law part. Hyperlink that, okay? Right-click on that. And to my surprise, Professor Siegel has it hyperlinked to an article about somebody 10 years ago. In January 21, 2007, this tax fugitive barricade in-house showed us the law and we'll pay. You know, why do you have that on there when Professor Siegel should know that Freedom Law School has been offering this $300,000 income tax reward since 1999. By the way, since then, Professor Siegel has not bothered to change the hyperlink to Freedom Law School's website, as he should. We are, Freedom Law School is the prominent organization throughout America exposing the fraud of the income tax for the longest time, since 1999, folks. And Professor Siegel ran a link into us, links it to this article about somebody 10 years ago. Now let's scroll down to sections 61 and 63, okay, because that's the relevant part we're going to be all discussing. Section 61 and 63, the green part with the 61 and 63 bold, it says Section 1 imposes a tax on your, quote, taxable income, unquote. How do you know what that is? Section 63 of the code defines taxable income to mean gross income minus the deductions allowed by Chapter 1 of the codes. So now we need to know what gross income is. Section 61 of the code provides the critical definition, and I fully agree. Fully agree with what the professor says. Section 61 is critical, is the key section to help us understand it. And he says, let's below that, he lists part of Section 26 USC 61. That's Category 26 of Federal Laws, United States Code. Section 61. Gross income means all income from whatever source derived, including but not limited to the following items. One, compensation for services, including fees, commissions, fringe benefits, and similar items. Gross income derived from business, gains income from dealings in property, interest, rents, royalties, dividends, dot, dot, dot. Oh, there's more. Well, Professor elaborates below all this that there are 15 items in the full list. Only the first seven are quoted here. But the key part of the definition is that gross income means all income from whatever source derived. I wonder why he says that. Why italicize it from all income from all sources derived? You're going to see why he tries to use that deception. Okay, because there's 15 items here. Let's click on those 15 items. Let's click on the full list he has hyperlinked. Right click on that, open link in a new tab. Okay, let's see. What are those 15 things? We went to number 7, dividends. Number 8 is alimony and separate maintenance payments. 9 is annuities. 10 is income from life insurance and endowment contracts. 11, pensions. 12 is income from discharge of indebtedness. 13, dispute of share of partnership gross income. 14, income in respect to a defendant, dissident. And income 16, 15 is income from an interest in an estate or trust. Now, Professor Siegel tries to say that gross income means from all income from all whatever source derived. So in other words, this list is superfluous, is unnecessary. It's a waste of time to even say it, because gross income means all income from any and all sources derived. Okay. Including, in parentheses, where it says, but not limited to, that's not law. In law, Anything in parentheses that right on there, you could ignore. It's not part of the law. Neither are the headings. The heading descriptions also are not part of the law. The actual text of the law is the law. So here we look at the list. Of course, why would they, if that was the case, why would they have to list dividends and royalties? Most Americans don't get hardly any dividends or royalties. Okay. How many Americans get income from discharge of indebtedness? Not very often. How many have given income from an interest in an estate or trust? Right? That's usually for rich folks. They have trusts. They have income from a trust, right? Why would Congress bother listing all this but wages and salaries, which are missing there? You see that? The first one also lists even things like fringe benefits and fees, but commissions, but not, you know, salaries and wages. Well, let's go back. Let's go back to the email with Professor Siegel, and let's see what Professor Siegel responds. Okay. So he responds to me in April 21st, the very next day, and says, Mr. Mortada, thanks for your message. Wages and salaries are covered under Section 61's first item as they are part of the, quote, compensation for services listed in that item. Oh, okay. Well, let's you go back to Section 61 and the details. And you know, sure enough, Section 61 lists compensation for services. Well, does that cover? But that's not wages and salaries. I mean, isn't a fee a compensation for service? Well, of course it is. Someone provides a service of some sort and they charge a fee for it. Isn't the commission a compensation for service? Sure it is. You sold an item or did something or got a contract or something, a service you provided, you get a commission instead. Right? How about fringe benefit? Right? That's a compensation too for a service you did. They give you extra bonus, extra compensation. So these three items are compensation for services. They're listed. But how come wages and salaries are not listed there? Let's go back to the emails of Professor Siegel and I, and we'll see that I responded to him later on the same day, April 21st, to Professor Siegel. And I said, Dear Professor Siegel, thank you for your prompt reply. I apologize for not making my question clear to you. Item one, compensation for services lists fees, commissions, which are far less common form of compensation of most Americans, and in far less total dollars. Item one even lists fringe benefit. Fringe benefit is usually an extra small item that a salaried employee or an hourly wage earner is given. Fringe benefit, by its definition, is a fringe, an extra, the icing on the cake. The cake is the salaried or wage earning income. My question is, how could Congress and their team of lawyers remember to list fees and commissions, which are less common forms of compensation, and most particularly, how could Congress remember to list fringe benefits in item one, which is icing on the cake, but I forgot to list wages and salaries, which is the cake itself, the most common form of compensation that most Americans receive, and is the highest total dollar compensation received in America by Americans? Thank you for taking your time to review my email question and enlightening me. Paymon Motahede. Well, Professor Siegel had to, you know, sit on that email for 5 days. The other time, he replied to me the next day, this time 5 days later. Actually, he didn't respond. I'm sorry. He didn't respond to me. He, you know, this time. So I sent him a follow-up email. After waiting 5 days on April 26th, I said, "Dear Professor Siegel, I sent you the email below 6 days ago, but I had not heard back from you. I wonder if my email had not reached you for various technical reasons that exist. So I am resending the email below again in the hope that it will reach you this time. Thank you. Pema Motede." So the next day, April 27th, Professor Siegel replies. Okay. Subject is regarding why Section 61 of the code is missing wages and salaries. Mr. Motede, a likely motive for the phrasing of Section 61A1 is that Congress saw no need to specify that, quote, compensation for services, unquote, includes wages and salaries because, as you say, those are the most common and obvious forms of compensation for services, whereas the other items are listed because, as you say, they are less common and obvious, and Congress therefore wanted to make sure it was understood that those items were included. Now, here are some questions for you. Are you, the Pema Motede, associated with Freedom Law School? Has anyone claimed the reward you offer at this page? If so, what happened to those claims? Well, apparently Professor Siegel got a little curious about me and my question and probably went online and Googled my name on internet search engine, came across Freedom Law School, and came across my Freedom Law School website and looked around a little bit and came across the $300,000 income tax reward that he's hyperlinked in his email, right? So the response I gave to him the same day: yes, Professor Siegel, I am the founder and president of Freedom Law School, livefreenow.org. Very few people have attempted to claim any of the $300,000 income tax reward that I have offered since 1999. I'll review and evaluate each claim personally and adjudicate them. You certainly seem most qualified to make such a claim if you disagree with Freedom Law School's position on these issues. On your reasoning below, there are two problems with that logic in his email, right? One, why would Congress take the time to define income if it is all income from all sources anyway? With that logic, Section 61 is superfluous. It is well settled that the law is never superfluous. Superfluous means unneeded, unnecessary, you know, waste of time. And two, the argument you forward that salaries and wages must be implied because obviously Congress intended it, but did not specifically list wages and salaries, cannot be the reason, because the U.S. Supreme Court in the unanimous decision of Gold versus Gold in 1917 stated that the obvious, that quote, this is a quote not from Supreme Court, in the interpretation of taxing statutes, it is the established rule not to extend their provisions by implication beyond the clear import of the language used, or to enlarge their operations as to embrace matters not specifically pointed out. Doubts are resolved against the government. End of quote. Congress is not stupid and totally ignorant of well-settled principles of taxation as spelled out in Gold Supra. That means the Gold case. Okay? So, I refuted Professor Siegel right there. Okay? In fact, let's go read Gold versus Gold. Put your mouse on Gold versus Gold, the Supreme Court case, and right-click on it and open that link in a new tab. And you see there's a link to the Supreme Court case, Gold versus Gold. You know, Supriba.Justia.com. Justia is one of those good legal, you know, legal search engines. There it is. Let's go down to, it says, you know, Gold versus Gold, 245 U.S., 151, 1917. Okay. And the syllabus, go below the syllabus. The first thing is about alimony. Okay, let's skip that. Let's go read the second paragraph. In the interpretation of taxing statutes, it is established rule not to extend the provisions by implication beyond the clear import of the language used or to enlarge their operations so as to embrace matters not specifically pointed out. Doubts are resolved against the government. Did I make up the law, folks? Did I make up the language of the U.S. Supreme Court? No. This is exactly the Supreme Court decision as written by the Supreme Court themselves, unanimously. In fact, you go below, you see where it says Mr. Justice McReynolds delivered the opinion of the court. That means the whole court had the same opinion. Sometimes, folks, the 9 Supreme Court justices, they disagree. 6 rule this way, 3 the other way. 5 rule this way, 4 go the other way. They don't always agree. They disagree. Like Obamacare, you know, that was passed. You know, and then Supreme Court by 5-4 agreed. 4 Supreme Court justices said Obamacare was illegal, unconstitutional, and 5 said it was constitutional. There was dispute about that. Here, there's no dispute. Unanimously, the Supreme Court said, all of them, that, you know, you cannot, tax laws are, you know, you cannot by implication make tax law or take them beyond what's specifically said in the law. Okay, if it's not there, listed out, spelled out clearly, it's not there. It's not by implication. And if you anyway have any doubts, it's against the government. That tax law does not exist. That item of income is not subject to tax. So there it is, folks. I blew the argument of Professor Siegel. However, Professor Siegel could have stopped it right there, but he didn't. He didn't do that, and he decided to make the reward claim anyhow. If you right-click on that now, to that, to at the bottom of the page, part 2 of 3, again, blue with a white background, part 2 of 3, right-click on that, and you'll see that it goes to part 2 of 3 of law professor fails to collect Freedom Law School's income tax reward. Okay. Now I'm going to go over this part later on another time. But you can check it out right now for yourself, folks. See it for yourself. Check it out for yourself. Everything there is hyperlinked to the source of law. You don't have to take my word for anything. I've already shown you that you can always check out the law for yourself. So what I'm going to do right now, because a lot of people with questions, and last week we did not have the time to take your freedom questions, I'm going to stop the subject tonight. We can talk about it next week. And I'm going to go to your questions. And there's 2 kind of questions. One is, if you have a particular issue with the government or the IRS harassing you, I want to help you live free. Tell me your question, your issue, and I'll do my best to answer for you on this call for free. Now, usually I can answer your question on this conference call fully, but sometimes your question is more complex. I need to know more about your situation and the paperwork of your case to help you. Well, in those cases, you probably want to do a private one-on-one consultation with me, which I'm available for, paid consultations. Sometimes the answers you want are Freedom Law School's Freedom Courses or Freedom Packages, or you got some real problem that in that case you want a serious one, you want to get with Freedom Law School with a Royal or Simple Freedom Package membership. Regardless, folks, I'm going to go now trying to get all your questions answered that are personal to you, and then we'll come back. If you have any questions about this issue of the law that requires people supposedly to file income tax, then I address that. But folks, here it is. You can print out the $300,000 income tax reward. You can print out the email of me with Professor Siegel. The first part is good enough to get your lawyer, CPA, accountant, tax preparer, friend who's a you know judge, IRS agent, give it to them. Let them have a chance to get a little warm up on the subject with the first part of the reward. They can probably go look it up for themselves on the internet even more. Let them do that, folks, and then come contact Freedom Law School. So let's see if anybody has any questions. By the way, if you have questions, for your privacy, only give me your first name. This call is a public call, it's recorded. Any IRS government agent could be recording and using it against you. So do not give me your last name. The first name is enough. The state you're calling from, that'd be nice, but that's it. I don't want any more than that. I want to help you answer your questions. In fact, if you want to use a pseudonym, that's quite fine with me also. Okay, you can do that. So let's go to our first caller from area code 402. If you have a caller, a question, call from America 402, go to and announce your first name, the state you're calling from, and then your question.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, I can, my friend. What is your name?
Just call me Mark.
And what state you calling from? What state you calling from, Mark?
I live in Nebraska.
Very good. Very good, Mark. All right, my friend, how may I help you, my friend?
Well, we got a situation that I haven't filed for a number of years, and but I'm getting ready to get some inheritance, and the attorney knows about the government having a lien against me. I'm looking for some advice. I don't know if this is the right time and place to do it, but it's probably a good learning experience for anybody. But the government's got a lien against me right now, and the attorney cannot get himself in trouble because he could lose his law degree or his law license. You still there? Hello?
Yes, I am, my friend. Yes, I am. Okay. Well, let me ask you a question. We probably should do a private one-on-one consultation on this issue. Because if the tax lien is valid, you know, I'm afraid that's exactly what the fall tax liens. Tax lien means that if you come across a chunk of money, like a sale of real estate or inheritance, the government gets paid first before you do. That's why they do that. And so you may be, my friend, in this situation, forced to pay the tax out of the inheritance and then try to get it back. Okay, most or all of it back. And depending on the facts of your case, depending on what you've done in the past, the wrong stuff or the right stuff, you may be able to get any or all of it back. It depends. Okay. Let me ask you a quick question. Basically, when was the last time you filed the 1040 income tax confession form?
Probably 2005 or something like that.
2005. Okay. All right. Now, how much of the IRS claims you owe them?
Well, you get three different numbers. You get a high number, which is over $100,000. You get a a low number where they can get you to settle for, you know, $10,000 to $20,000, and then you get the medium number, which is around $60,000, plus the state wants to throw in there another $9,000. The real estate I'm looking ready to inherit is probably about 20 acres of farmland. It's probably going to run $2,000 to $3,000 an acre up here where I live.
20 acres of land, how much an acre?
20 acres of land, about $2,000 to $3,000 an acre it goes for up here.
Okay. Well, that means that basically the 20 acres are basically makes it the place it worth maybe $40,000 to $60,000. About $50,000 approximately.
Now I have some siblings involved in the same will, an older brother and a younger sister. Is there any way we can convert that into a trust?
No, probably not. No, you cannot do that. No, I'm afraid not. At this stage, you cannot change things. You know, things could have been and should have been planned way back then, years ago, before things come up. That's why I think a good estate planning is always a good thing to do in advance before any litigation comes up. Anybody sues you, judgment, taxes, or some accident happens of some sort. Plan stuff in advance. You know, how did you hear about Freedom Law School, by the way, Charlie? How and when did you hear about Freedom Law School?
Well, I've known about you guys for close to 10 years. Yeah. We've met before. So.
Well, I wish you God met me back then, Charlie, since you and I met. Because had you talked to me, my friend, become one of our members at the time, you know, even get the level one course at the minimum, that first basic course, or done a, you know, simple or Royal Freedom Package membership, I would have talked to you about your whole situation, about this stuff, and you had a lot more options available back then than now. Now your options are more limited. At this point, the lien is filed against you. Father's passed away. The lawyer knows about the taxes. And, yeah, like you said, he doesn't want to lose his license to practice law. No. So he has no choice to, at this point, to take whatever from your estate that would be a share of taxes and then pay to the IRS, and maybe you can get that back. But even then, if you try to get the money back, it has to be done with the strategy. Now, is this 20 acres? That's all your father has, and you have to share that with your siblings? Is that correct?
No, that's just my share.
Oh, that's just your share. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I would need to see the paperwork of your case of with the IRS. Any law letters they send you over the years that claim, IRS claims they owe you owe them how much and for what reason. I need to see that. So we can minimize the damage and or get the rest of it back.
Okay.
So send me your paperwork, my friend. Along with $240 cash only for 1 hour prepaid consultation to Freedom Law School in Florida. Write up whatever you want to write up about it, maybe a paragraph or a page, that's fine. Make sure you have all your phone numbers there, Charlie. Okay, send by priority or express mail to Freedom Law School. You'll be contacted as soon as it's received for us to talk.
Okay.
Anything else I can help you besides this question at this time?
No. Thanks for helping me out with that.
No problem, my friend. I'll do my best to help you out to get this situation resolved for you as best way possible legally for your benefit, my friend. Let's go to a caller we have. Excuse me, from area code 917. Do you have a question, caller from area code 917? No question from caller from area code 917. How about the call from area code 720? If you have a question, call from area code 720. Please announce yourself now.
Yes, my name is Jason from Colorado. And My question actually goes back to a couple weeks ago. We kind of ran out of time and you weren't able to answer it then. But my question was, how can I get my work, who has a third party, who pays, does the payroll, how do I get them to stop taking out Social Security and Medicare taxes?
Well, you talked call last week also, my friend, about that. I remember on the 12th, 2 weeks ago, you called. Okay.
Yeah.
And I think we covered that issue. That it's not a quick, easy, guaranteeing thing to do. And the reason is because employers are protected from stealing your money by law. There's a specific law. IRS code section 6330. E, I think it is. Let me get that exact code section. You can look it up for yourself, my friend. Okay, that protects employers from stealing your money. So there is no, and the employers are deathly afraid of the IRS. What's the allowed law? Section 63. Let's see, 6332E. So write down. Go on your computer right now. Everybody can do. Look it for yourself. Okay, go on your computer. New open a new tab. Type in 26 space USC space 6332, enter. Okay, you can go to the second one is I get is from GPO.gov. That's Government Printing Office website. Click on that, right click on that in a new tab. Open a new tab. It goes there. This is Government Publishing Office official. And go click on the format, and you see in the top center text. Click on the text version, okay? And 6332, surrender of property subject to levy, okay? If you go down, scroll down to E, effective honoring levy, okay? And right there it is. Any person in possession or obligated with respect to property or rights to property subject to a levy upon which a levy has been made, who upon demand by secretary surrender such property or rights of property, blah, 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 shall be discharged from any obligation or liability to a delinquent taxpayer. Okay. And any other person with respect to such property or rights to property arising from such surrender or payments. So if you take your money, your wife cannot sue either. You cannot sue, your wife cannot sue either. Your kids cannot sue either. So the courts have interpreted this broadly, more than what the law says. Even though in a withholding case, there's no levy going on. They're just withholding free money to, you may owe some money to the IRS, you may not. The courts have said this protects employers, period, for taking your money for any reason, even if it's not a levy. You cannot sue the employers, they say. So there's no guaranteed way to do that, okay? Because the courts have, they want the money. The judges also are part of the government. They work for the government. They want the money. They protect the money tree of the government. What you can do is, I covered previous times on these conference calls, is go show them the law that they're not a withholding agent. Because a withholding agent is defined in the IRS code. Section 7701, A16. Go get it, open a new tab on your computer and type in 26 USC 7701. Enter. The second one I get is again, Section 7701 comes up from GPO.gov. Go ahead and click on that, right click on that in the new tab. And then when it comes up, go, okay, and this one that came, in my case, that they came, the PDF of it came up automatically. So there you go. Section 7701 in the bottom left column, it starts, okay, when used in this title, we're not otherwise distinctly expressed or manifestly incompatible with the intent thereof. They define the term person, partnership or partner, corporation, domestic, foreign, fiduciary, stock, United States, state, a lot of obvious stuff that you think, well, everybody knows what those terms mean. But they will define them very specifically. Go to the next page. Okay. And you go to number 17. They actually define husband and wife. How do you like that? Some use husband and wife. You say, everybody knows what a husband and wife is. No. It's very specifically defined. And it refers to, as used in section 682 and 2516, they're very specific about it. So above that is subsection 16, A16. Withholding agent, the term withholding agent means any person required to deduct and withhold any tax under the provision of sections 1441, 1442, 1443, or 1461. Now, you do the same process and look up these sections. You will see they all have to do with foreigners. I'm going to go through one of them right now, okay? So I can get to other people's questions, my friend. Open a new tab on your computer, okay, and type in 26 space USC space 1441 and push enter, right? Well, here it goes. The third one is from government printing office, gpo.gov, right? For me, gpo.gov, link that comes up, I use Google, right-click on that, open link in a new tab. Right. In fact, the heading of it is withholding a tax on non-resident aliens. Right there, you see it. It says it. Withholding a tax on non-resident alien. Well, that's not you. Okay, if you quick click on the text right there, the blue link hyperlink to text, click on that, folks, in the law itself. Okay. Now you can go to corner law links, all that stuff before that, but I'd rather you go to government printing office because there's no doubt. This is from come from the government itself. No doubt at all. This is from government's own website. Click on the text. Sure enough, it says withholding of tax on non-resident aliens. Okay? Let's talk about. So it says, I'll read this one with you. Except as otherwise provided in subsection C, all persons in whatever capacity acting, including lessees, or mortgagers of real or personal property, fiduciaries, employers, and all officers and employees of the United States. Very nice, broad definition. Having the control, receipt, custody, disposal, or payment of any of the items of income specified in subsection B, to the extent that any such items constitutes gross income from sources within the United States. Like section 61 we talked about, right? That's where section 61 applies. Compensation for services, fringe benefits, dividends, royalties, that applies right here. We're talking about that here. Of any non-resident alien individual or of any foreign partnership. See, these are talking about foreigners here, right? Shall deduct and withhold from such item a tax equal to 30% thereof, except that in case of any item of income specified in second sentence of subsection B, the tax shall be equal to 40% of such item. So there it is. Tax on foreigners. Print this page. Print the other page. And go do the same thing with other sections that we read earlier. Okay? It's section 7701 refers to. Okay? And show and take it all to your employer and say, look here, you're not supposed to withhold from my paycheck. I'll print it for you, section 7701, A16, all the way down to A16, read it. You're withholding agent? Well, there it is. You're withholding from my pay. Guess what? Even husband and wife are defined. And all the sections 1441, 1442, 1443, or 1461 are referring to foreigners. I'm not a foreigner. I'm an American. So I'm not the person you're supposed to withhold from. So if you can do that, good luck to you. I would print out the laws, these laws, and highlight the relevant language of the relevant sections to make it dummy proof. For them to read it. Okay. Highlight on the top left of the page. It says printed from U.S. Government Printing Office, GPO. They can see this is not something you made up in your garage. You got it from government's website. Okay. That's your best chance, my friend, to get them to stop withholding from your pay, regular income tax, Social Security, Medicare, anything like that. Okay?
Okay, I appreciate
anything else I can help you with tonight, Jason?
Nope, that's it. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Let's go to our caller from area code 661 in California, Southern California. I recognize the number, my friend. What's your name? You have a question? Call from area code 661. Jacob.
Jacob.
You have a question? Yes, sir.
Yeah, I haven't filed a 1040 probably for the last 6 years. And the IRS went ahead and filed a 1040 for me. And since then, they've been taking 15% out of my Social Security check. What's the point in whether you file or not if they can go ahead and do it on their own?
Well, what was the point for you?
Say again?
What was your point when you stopped filing income taxes? What was your point?
Well, I stopped because nobody could show me that law regarding filing for your income.
Well, that's my point, too. I agree with you. But let me ask you, Jacob, when and how did you hear about Freedom Law School?
Oh, I attended a couple of your seminars years ago, and I stumbled upon your website.
Okay. Well, I wish you gotten the Freedom Law School sooner, my friend, because I could have done more at that time to prevent this stealing of your money, my friend. Okay? Because that's why I tell people, get the Freedom Law School before you have problems, folks. You see in this conference call, people with problems coming to us, they're not being proactive enough. They've known about Freedom Law School for years. Don't let that happen to you, folks, to everybody else, first of all. Get with Freedom Law School. Get at least a level one course of Freedom Law School. Know what to do, what not to do. Ideally, get with a simple or Royal Freedom Package programs so you can prevent this stuff happening. Had you got with it, Jacob, this would have been happening to you right now. I can guarantee you that. Have you been a Royal Freedom Package? No, this will not be happening right now because there are protections in the law for you that give you an opportunity to challenge the IRS. And potentially beat them, okay? And they, you know, and these things oftentimes take, unfortunately, take time to resolve. But you know, meanwhile, the only good thing about it is that during the time that you're challenging the IRS, that you could win, they cannot go and take your money, okay? So, in your situation, do you have any other source of income besides Social Security, Jacob?
A small pension.
Okay, well, how much is your pension? How much is your Social Security?
Social Security is 1411 and the pension is 354.
Oh, so the pension is very small.
Right.
Yeah. 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 Well, what you may be able to do in this situation, how much does the IRS claim you owe them, by the way?
I think around $7,500.
Okay. So it's not a huge number. I know it's not small for you, but it's not a huge number like $100,000 or $1 million or something like that. Yeah. So in your situation, and you don't have a, you don't work at all. You just completely retired.
Retired 4 years ago.
So you don't work at all.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. In your situation, I'm afraid at this stage, there's really nothing to do. I wish I had a silver bullet answer for you, my friend. But because of your situation, the tax is relatively small. My best advice to you, Jacob, is to get out of the expensive L.A., California living. Go to Nevada, Texas, Florida, some no state income tax state, which has a lower cost of living. As a tip to you, I'll tell you this, Jacob. They ask Americans, what's the poorest people in America? They say Mississippi. Bunch of, you know, poor people in the deep South. Lots of blacks and whites are there, very poor. It's not true. Californians like you live in a big city, are the poorest in the country, in LA and San Francisco Bay Area. Why? Because of tremendously high cost of housing that not only you directly pay yourself to your rent or mortgage, but also your mechanic, your dentist, your restaurant, or your grocer. Everybody charges you more because they have to add their high cost of their rent and real estate and mortgage into what they charge you. So get out. That money goes a lot farther if you go to some place like Central Florida, where we're at, or, you know, or Nevada. You know, that's what I would do, my friend. And this, what it is, it is what it is. You know, after a few years, you know, as after all, the Social Security number is my stolen money anyhow. It's mine they steal from Jason and others. Okay. My plan to get some of that from Charlie and give it to you. So it's some of the stolen money. So they're going to give less of that. I'm afraid that's the best answer I can give you, my friend.
Okay. Good enough.
Okay. Thanks for calling, Jacob. Let's go to next caller from area code 516 from New York area. What's your name, my friend? Do you have a question?
Hello, Payman. My name is Randy.
Yes, Randy. How did you hear about Freedom Law School, by the way?
Strolling through the internet.
Very good. And how may I be able to assist you?
Well, I wrote to the IRS about, you know, the tax law, and they responded to me with a bunch of sections why you need to file. Is about 9 sections in Title 26. Section 6001, 6011, 6012, 6109, 6151. I don't know if you want to go through every one of these.
What about these sections now?
These are the sections that are filing requirements and authority to collect tax.
Okay, so that's your proposal. What's your question, my friend?
Well, I thought there was no law. These are all the
there is no law
that they say, right?
So what? Some government IRS agent told you these sections require the filing of paying income tax, like section 6601.
6001.
Is that what you're saying?
Right. 6011, 6012. And I just wanted to know if it's true.
Well, let's look it up. We will look it up online, my friend, and come up to the answers right there from government's own website. So give me the first one. We're going to type in 26 space USC.
26 on your, USC 6001.
What's the first section? 6601?
6001. Yes.
6001. Okay. 6001. Okay. Well, second one for me comes up is GPO.gov, Government Printing Office. Let's right click on that and open, click in a new tab. Let's read what it says. Let's go to a text on the top center, the blue hyperlink to text. Let's click on the text version of the law. There it is. Oh, what does it say? 6001, notice or regulations requiring record statements and special returns. It says every person liable for any tax imposed by this title or collection thereof shall da 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 da. Read it. The very first part is a key part. Every person liable for any tax imposed by this title, not this section. No, it doesn't say any tax imposed by this section. It says for any tax imposed by this title. That means someplace else, right? Sure. Yeah. You know, or for the collection thereof shall do all these things. So right there in the language of this code section is, this section 6001 itself does not impose any tax, does it? It says, anybody who's someplace else in the title, obviously not here, you know, who has a tax imposed, shall do all these things. Right? Do you read that for yourself? You have a computer in front of
yes,
you?
Yes, I see. Yes.
Okay. Let's go to the next section. Let's look it up, folks. This is good. We'll do that. What's the next section? 26 USC. What's the next section?
6011.
6011. Okay, 6011. Okay, we're going to look it up. 26 space USC, 6011. The second one comes up for me again is from GPO.gov. I right-click on it, open link in a new tab, and the text. Let's go click on the text version again in the top center in the blue. You know, that blue text, click on the text, and there it is. 6011, general requirement of return statement or list. General rule. What does this say? When required by regulations prescribed by the secretary, any person made liable for any tax imposed by this title or with respect to a collection thereof shall make a return or statement according to forms and regulations prescribed by the secretary. Well, there it is. Right there, tells you again. When required by regulations, what's that?
So, since salary and wages isn't included in the title?
In this section, it doesn't talk about that subject at all. It says whatever required by regulations of the IRS, Secretary of the IRS, any person who's made liable for any tax imposed by this title. Not in this section, but in this title, anywhere in the title. Well, the section itself doesn't impose any tax. You can read the rest of it. Take your time later at home. No place in there does it impose any tax on anybody. This part, the first part A, general rule, is the most closest it possibly gets to imposing a tax on anybody. And it says right there, any person made liable for any tax imposed by this title. So someplace else in this title, but not this section. This section itself does not impose a tax on anybody. See, this is what I'm talking about, folks. If you were in a court with a government judge and you were a criminal defendant jury, the crooked judge will tell the jurors like Randy, this section 6011 and others require you to file income tax, but they don't. The crooked judge will not give this actual printout of this law like this for the jury to read for themselves and say, it says 6011 and all these 6001, the section impose income tax. And here's a copy of the law for yourself so you can properly follow it. No, the judge doesn't do that. The judges lie. They lie to the jurors and tell the jurors that section 6011, these other sections, impose a tax. When they themselves say in the language of them that, you know, when any person required or liable for a tax imposed in this title, that means someplace else. Because if it was this section, it would say imposed by this section. If it was a tax imposed by this section, would say any person made liable for any tax imposed by this section. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't say that. It says any person made liable for any tax imposed by this title someplace else. So this is not the section that requires the filing of paying any tax, whatever, whatsoever. Okay, Randy, do you understand?
A little bit more.
So what you want to do, go through all these sections that they gave you one by one, just like I did, for yourself. Thank God for internet now. We can go look it up for yourself, folks. I remember back in early 1990s, when I got into all this stuff about the Constitution and income tax, there was no internet. I lived in Tustin, California. I had to go to the Santa Ana Orange County Law Library by the courthouse. Pay parking fee for the parking there by the courthouse, and go and pull out the law books from the law book shelves open them up the right page to look up and read the stuff. The law was practically hidden. Most of the lawyers were in the law library. You didn't have access to see it, read it for yourself. Just like the way they say that back in a, before the printing press by Gutenberg was printed. You know, the Bible was only known by the Catholic church bishops in Europe. And they interpret the Bible. Well, because books were very expensive to write. All had to be handwritten from cover to cover. Handwritten by a well-trained writer, scribe. Books were very expensive to write. Took a lot of time to write one book by hand. To be exact. Same copy. It would take years to write one book. But after Gutenberg Press came out, you could make a 1,000 copies of the same book. People could read the Bible for themselves. And they start saying, whoa, wait a minute. The church is not doing things according to the Bible. Right there, I got a copy for myself to read. And that's what led to the Protestant movement. That, you know, we got to follow the Bible as it says, not by the preachers and priests of the Catholic Church were saying at the time. Today, we have the same issue. The crooked IRS agents, the crooked lawyers of government in the U.S. Department of Injustice, and the double crooked judges, they do not let you see the law. They don't want you to read the law, and if they do, they ignore it. They knowingly and deliberately ignore it. It's right there from you, in front of you, from the government printing office, the official government website that prints the law. Here it is. Any person made liable for any tax imposed by this title, not by this section. Okay, Randy? So do your homework, my friend. Do the same thing with the other section. Type in 26 space USC. Type section. Yes, sir.
Give another question. Can we just do one more?
Sure. Which one?
Do one more. 6012.
26 U.S. space USC. What's the next section?
6012.
Okay. Well, let's do 6012. Let's go. Let's make a right-hand click on the GPO.gov link. GPO.gov, right? Open like a new tab.
Okay,
comes up, persons required to make returns of income. Well, that's a good one. It seems to be on point, right? That's government's favorite section they like to mention, one of them. Let's go click on the text version at the top center of that. And persons required to make returns of income. Ah! General rule, returns with respect to income taxes under subtitle A shall be made by the following. Hey, here we go. Looks like this may apply. Every individual having for the taxable year gross income, which equals or exceeds the exemption amount. Oh, wait a minute. There goes that gross income term. Every individual having for the taxable year gross income. We covered that earlier on. Gross income, right? Section 61. Where is wages and salaries in gross income? Right?
Okay.
It's not there.
Yes.
It's not there. Wages and salaries are not there. Of course, Professor Siegel talks about this section 6012 also. So now I tell you, there's a lot more deception in this law. That, you know, this the income tax was meant on foreigners, Canadians, Mexicans, others working in America. But that takes a lot of the more to show you guys that. A lot more complex to show that, the hidden law. So, but remember, the income tax is primarily a tax on wage earners and salaried Americans. Most Americans get most, if not all, their income from wages and or salaries. And a withholding of tax by force, by deception, by pressure on employers to have their employees fill out a W form and have withholding from their paycheck is the illegal means of that money stolen up front paycheck of the poor, unsuspecting wage earners and salaried individuals in America. So now they are forced to file a 1040 income tax confession form to get some of that stolen money back, when the law never applied to them in the first place anyway, as you've seen tonight. So if the fundamental part of the income tax is a fraud, the other stuff must be fraud too, just the hidden the law, the language intent of law, in different ways. Because I tell you, an American, in my opinion, doesn't have to pay income tax on his profits from his business, or his royalties, or dividends, or commission, any of those things either. But that part of a fraud, it is not so simple and easy and direct, boom, easy to show, like it is to show it doesn't apply to wages and salaries, which is the main part, which is the crux, which is the main foundation of income tax. All right, Randy? Does that help you? Any other questions before I go to the next callers?
There's about five more, but no, I understand. Thank you. Keep up the good work.
You're welcome. So do you keep doing the same thing, my friend, with the other section of yourself. When you go home, write down on your computer, bring up your computer, you can just Google or whatever you use, put 26 space, USC space, and then type the code section and just go read along. You know, folks, we're going to take this country back one way because we can enforce the law as it is written. It used to be you didn't know what the law was. They would get away with lying, saying, you know, your arguments are frivolous. You're frivolous. You're frivolous. You're wrong. Now we can shove them the law in their face. There is it. There is a law right there. Is the law frivolous? Is the government printing office that publishes the law, are they frivolous? Is this not the law, but the government printed for us all to see? You know, so that's what we got to do, folks. And to show it to every people, you got to show this, my friends, to your friends, coworkers, family members, anybody you know out there, read the law. Trump is right. The system is rigged against the people. It's rigged in front of the establishment who've enriched themselves at the expense of the average American. That's exactly what Trump said in his inauguration speech, and he's right on the money. We're just showing you one of those ways the system is rigged against the average American, which, of course, by stealing your money, they can use that money to rig it in favor of the establishment. The big banks, Wall Street, big corporations, anybody with the money to buy politicians, with money, you know, the lobbyists, right? They buy a politician, pass laws favorable to those lobbyists and those powerful moneyed interests. Okay? Let's go to our next call. Thank you, Randy, for your wonderful questions. Very, very good questions. Very on point. I'm glad you are bringing these issues up, folks. We're gonna talk about them and get them out there. Get the truth out for everybody. Let's go to our next caller from area code 916 in California. What's your name, caller? Do you have a question, caller from area code 916?
No, I'm just listening in. Thank you.
You're welcome, my friend. We have another caller calling from area code 810 from Utah, I believe. Or is that Utah? What's your name? Do you have a question, my friend? Area code 810? No question. Call from area code 810. Okay. Very good. Well, folks, I really enjoy being with you guys on these conference calls once a week, because I used to do live classes in mid-1990s where people came. They drove 1 to 2 hours or more to come once a week to classes I used to teach in my apartment in Tustin, California, about 20 years ago, to teach them about the law and your rights and all this stuff. Well, I don't get to do that anymore, but I get to be with you and help educate you and help you live free now as soon as possible if you want to take action. But educating yourself first. Then you can hook up with Freedom Law School, be part of a network of freedom-minded Americans like you who want to live free. You back them up, they back you up. That's why I created this program. It's called the Simple and the Royal Freedom Packages. So it's all for one, one for all, just like the founding fathers. Okay, we put our commitment. We come out our belief. We put a little money and stand together, fight for freedom, and educate ourselves and educate our fellow Americans with the law right there from government's own website. And we can achieve great results together. We're going to be doing that, folks. I'm putting a group of great freedom tax lawyers and freedom fighters in America to commit to contact Donald Trump to help him reform the tax laws and get rid of this income tax ultimately and get rid of the whole Federal Reserve and money system. We got a man of the people in there. We're going to try to get in touch with him and get something happening. So, folks, I invite you to share this conference call on your Facebook page. Get your friends and family members and educate them. So I'm going to thank you all for joining me tonight. I'm going to end this conference call now and invite you to call back next week. But let me see. I think there might be a couple of people with more questions before I go. There's a call from area code 971. You have another question, Eric, from call from area code 971 or no? No more questions there? Very good. Folks, thank you for let me see. There's a call from area code 714. I see you may have a question. There's a call from area code 714, Orange County. You have a question?
Yeah, Payman, this is John. I talked to you earlier today.
Yay, John. Thanks for calling and listening. Yes, yeah, yes, of course, John, I know who you are.
I just wanted to say, reiterate what we talked about earlier today, that, what is it, Mark Twain quote that said that the patriot is at first scorned and ridiculed, and then after his cause triumphs, he's looked upon, you know, with more favor, you know, and in the case right now with Trump coming on and bringing up these points you talked about, that if we just keep pressing forward and keep pursuing these points, and we know we're in the right, that eventually they'll see the light of day. I just wanted to reinforce that to everybody out there, that they should just keep treading through all this, you know, and try to do something to help defend themselves, because if you don't stand up and defend yourself, you're not going to get anywhere. And thanks for providing that defense for us out there, myself included. I just wanted to thank you for all your support over these last several years. Okay, so just wanted
you're
to say
welcome.
That came on. Thanks
thank
a lot.
You
and
you welcome
everybody
man.
Else just
thank you
here. All right, Payman. I'm
thank
good.
You thank you, John. Okay, have a good night, my friend. And folks, to all of you who has been following Freedom Law School for, who knows, 20-plus years, you know, get in touch with us. Get with Freedom Law School. We want to be in your corner for you to fight for freedom for you and join hands with you. Together, we can return America to freedom once again. Get rid of the establishment that's controlling this country by the throat. Take the yoke off that they control the government. Okay? We got the executive branch back now with Donald Trump. Now we're going to go and get the legislature back and judiciary back also, folks. But we still got a lot more people to wake up, a lot more deeper to the depth of the lies and corruption that's been imposed on us. And then we can free ourselves. So thank you. I wish you a good night. And please come back with Freedom Law School any and all upcoming Thursday night at 7 o'clock Eastern Time Zone, 4 o'clock Pacific Time Zone. Good night, everybody.